Blog Talk Radio.
The following has taken place during Total Sports Live.
Katy Perry, I'm gonna let you finish, and Missy Elliott just stole your whole halftime show.
Yeah, that definitely, yeah. She definitely did steal the show. And in this game, there was a lot of show stealing in this game. And before we talk about the call that was the most infamous call that probably will go down in NFL history, this happened, let's, God forbid, if this ever happened in Philadelphia, the streets would be in pandemonium.
Grown men would be crying. That's like the big thing. So my dad said to me this morning, he was like, well, you know, are you really that still pissed? I was like, well, I'm still pissed, but it could have been worse. It could have been the Eagles made the dumbest call in Super Bowl history, and then, my God, we'd never hear the end of it.
Oh, yeah, this city would never live it down. There would probably, as I said, grown men would be crying. Could you imagine just people calling up to, like, WIP and the Fanatic just in tears and, you know, grown men just, like, crying? It would just been horrible. Chip Kelly and them would never have to, would never live it down, per se.
No, that would, when he was, that would be when he would pack his bags and go back to college, if he did anything like that.
Right. That would be the move, actually. That would be the move. He probably would have to go back to college. But we were about to just talk about the call, but we do have a caller on the line early. Let's bring him on. Caller, give us your name and what you want to talk about.
How you doing? It's Kurt Jenkins. You know me, Joe.
Oh, yeah, Kurt.
Oh, you sound so excited that I called it.
For real, when I just see 267 numbers and I see the rest of the digits, I just try to say who it is, and I was just looking through my contacts like, who is this calling?
Yeah, but, I mean, to leave on what you guys were saying, Chip Kelly, I honestly think he probably would have made that call because they've been in that situation before. Let's just be honest. You know, if you look at the Eagles season, first and goal, second and goal, third and goal, one simple yard has not been kind to Chip Kelly. If you rewind to the San Francisco game, and I mean, Chip Kelly is a genius. He's a very smart coach. But let's just be honest. Sometimes he outcoaches himself. Sometimes things are so simple, and he overthinks the process, and it comes to bite us in the butt at the end of the season. I mean, let's just be honest. Had we won that San Francisco game, we probably would have been in better shape towards the end of the season. I mean, who's to say what would have happened? I mean, I actually got a great laugh out of watching all the Seahawks reaction videos on YouTube of all the fans who just were like in complete bedlam. The fact that that they did not run the ball with beast mode. I mean, I know Seahawks fans are hurt right now, but you know what? I don't care because I got a good laugh about it. So, I mean, hats off to New England. Hats off to the Seahawks because it was a great Super Bowl. But yeah. You said he didn't think Chip would make that call. I would have to disagree. I think he would throw the ball at least once in that situation.
Angela, thoughts?
I honestly wasn't laughing. I didn't, like, run my TV or I didn't, like, destroy anything in my house. But, I mean, I really wasn't laughing at that. Because, like I said earlier in the show, all I wanted was I want that Super Bowl where the Eagles lost to the Patriots disappear. And if another quarterback would have repeated and it would have disappeared, and then it came back twofold, like, oh, well, the last time Tom Brady won it, it was like, you know, so I wasn't laughing, and I have followed the Seahawks for the past, like, 4 years now. So, you know, coming from that point, too, they were the better team. They just straight up handed it to them, unfortunately. But it was like but I agree, it could have been worse. It could have been the Eagles play call in Super Bowl history. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've been on the other side of that multiple times in my life where, like, you just find it funny when someone's team goes down, like, it's in that kind of manner. But I don't know. Maybe it's me being a little bit salty, but I wasn't really laughing.
True, true. Kurt, any more questions, comments, thoughts?
No, I mean, I found it funny just because of the simple fact. Like, I mean, you said you followed the Seahawks for 4 years. I mean, at least you got to witness them win a Super Bowl. I've been alive for 24 years, and I've only seen my team play in the Super Bowl once, and they haven't won. At least, what is this, the third time the Seahawks have played in the Super Bowl in the last 15 or so years? I mean,
hey,
I
man,
mean,
you're preaching to the choir. My dad's had season tickets to the Eagles since 1979. So.
I mean, I feel his pain. I have six of season tickets as we speak, and you can't get any worse than that.
Oh, no, trust me, man. I know. I cover the Sixers for Buzz on Broad, so I watch pretty much every single game. I know what you're talking about. I know what you're dealing with right now.
Yes, it's hard times here, hard times in the city. But, Kurt, thanks again for calling in. And, as always, keep on calling in. Call in anytime, pretty much.
No problem, man.
All right, that was Kurt Jenkins of the SixerSense.com. He also does a little bit of contributing to TotalSportsLive.com. But, Angela, let's talk. We have about 18 minutes in the show. Let's talk about the play. Let's talk about the call, actually. Second and goal. We all know Russell Wilson throws the ball to Lockett. Lockett.
You know what really gets me so much about that? Before that play, right, when the Patriots were down 21-24,
yeah.
Before that whole thing, like at that point, at that juncture in the game when that was going on, right? My boyfriend and I like split a bunch of block pools, so I'm watching that like, when the Patriots were at 21 and the Seahawks were at 24, I was like, oh my god, they get a field goal and they hold, I win like $700. Now I'm like freaking out about that. I'm not worried about the game. I'm like worried about what money I'm winning.
Uh-huh.
And then next thing you know, they blow the game. And I'm not even paying attention to that. I'm like, wait a minute, what just happened? You're up 10 with 8 minutes to go. Like all of a sudden,
right.
Tom Brady channeled Eli Manning.
Right. And the crazy thing about it, when the Seahawks were looking like they were about to score again, but they had that quick three and out after,
yeah.
They got Brady off. They had that quick three and out, and I just looked in Brady's eyes, and it just looked like he was just about to turn on. I was like, this game is over. He had that look like he was just going to put the team on his back and do it by himself.
I don't know. All I know is that all the bitching that Giselle has done about Tom Brady's receivers over the years.
Right.
I mean, she owes Julie Edelman something.
Yeah, Edelman balled out, including getting his bell rung by Cam Chancellor on that play, and somehow holding on to the ball. But who do you blame?
Yeah.
Who do you blame when it comes to that play call? Instead of not giving it to Beast Mode, who do you blame? Do you blame Carroll for agreeing to the call and not overriding Bevel? Do you blame Wilson for not audibling? Or do you blame on Bevel for saying, are you stupid? You don't do that. You don't make that call.
I don't know if you can totally blame it on Russell Wilson just because he has the calls put into his helmet.
Right.
I think that there is to be some extent where you should say, Russell, you're supposed to be a great game manager, and that's like what is your biggest compliment and your biggest criticism.
Right.
So if you are an effective game manager, wouldn't you drop back and realize that play is not going to work?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's just equal blame to go around with everybody. I don't really think it's like a situation where you can blame on one solo person, whether it be Russell Wilson or Pete Carroll or maybe offensive coordinator. I think it's just plenty of blame to go around. You would hope that they would call a better play, but you would also hope that him, like I said, like he gets that, like that's his biggest credit and his biggest criticism to be a game manager. So you would hope, like, if he dropped back and realized that play's not going to work, he would, try to figure something out. Even if you only take a loss, even if you still take a loss, you're on second down. Like, you still have another. It's not the end of the world. It's not like it's fourth down. You have no choice to get to throw.
Right. Right. You still had two downs if you didn't get it on second, and then you had a timeout left. So if you didn't like what you saw, which I don't understand what you would not like what you saw when you got beast mode in the backfield, and I agree. I think all three equally have to take responsibility in that call. Now, there was a sort of a conspiracy that's going around on Twitter, and ESPN were talking about it because they read what other players are tweeting on Twitter during the game, and they said that Seattle was trying to make Russell Wilson look elite, make him look like he was the hero in this game, Super Bowl MVP, and probably did not want Marshawn to get the hero status because he has been looked at as the anti-hero, and he looked like the anti-hero, and also if he got on the podium, he probably would have some choice words for Roger Goodell. Do you put any stock in that? Because I don't put any stock into that.
No, I don't. I think that's actually kind of laughable. I think your team wants to win by any means necessary, and it doesn't matter who it is. I mean, we've had those types of players here in Philly, and, I mean, my God, like, you would have – it doesn't matter who would have been the MVP if we could have won a Super Bowl here. I mean, you would have put any of them up to hoist the MVP trophy. And it's like, good luck. Good, you know, go ahead.
Right.
Choose your words. I mean, I don't think we really – I mean – come on, if we would have won the Super Bowl in Toronto, Owens would have been our Super Bowl MVP. Do you really think we would have cared what he got up on that podium and said? We certainly would have cared that we won.
I mean, we didn't care what Chase Utley said when he won.
Right,
when
and he
won.
Did it, and he did it twice. It wasn't just at the parade when he got on the podium and said World F and Champions. It was also the All-Star game 2 years before when they were in New York and everyone was booing him and he didn't realize his mic was on and then he did the boo F you.
Right.
You know what? It made us love him more, didn't it? Didn't that make us love him more? I don't know about you, but I got thrown out of the Philly game one time for using the F word, and then when I was banished to standing room only first and I got thrown out of the game completely. Later I was banished to standing room only, I made some friends as I could. And it was like, oh, this is what I said, and I got booted out of my seats. And they were like, you know what, if Chase can say it, you can say it. You're damn right I can.
Right. Right. So I don't believe that conspiracy either.
I don't believe that whatsoever. I think by any means necessary they would have won the game. If it meant meaning their least media-savvy player to have been the MVP. I don't really think that has anything to do with it. I think that's actually really laughable.
Definitely laughable. We have about 12 minutes left in the podcast. If you want to get in and call in, you call at 714-868-0800. That is 714-868-0800. All right. Before we talk to Brady, let's talk about the Seahawks team in general. As they have about 25 players that I looked up. They have about 25 players that are free agents. Byron Maxwell, the free agent. Richard Sherman has to get Tommy John surgery. Earl Thomas is going to have to get surgery. The Seahawks wide receivers are not good at best. They need to upgrade wide receivers. Will Marshawn Lynch retire or will he return next season? Dan Quinn is now the DC. Now he's going to be a head coach in Atlanta. Do you see the Seahawks team returning back to the Super Bowl next year, or is somebody else going to steal that NFC crown from them?
I don't know. It's hard for me. I mean, but, yeah, I don't necessarily know if I believe it. I got to see how this offseason plays out.
Right.
It depends on the off season. There are so many moving parts. I really can't make that call definitively one way or the other. I mean, 2 years ago I was out here and said, yes, the Seahawks are winning the Super Bowl, and then that was the case. And like even said last year, I said they're going to make it there, and they did. They didn't win, but they made it. But there's just there are so many, like, between free agency and they've got people that whose rookie contracts are expiring that they have to, like, you know, revamp and redo and pay.
Right.
I don't know if they make it to the Super Bowl next year. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd like to see. I mean, I definitely think they'll make it to the playoffs next year, but will they make it to the Super Bowl? Probably not. And if they don't, that's okay. Like, let some new blood come in.
Right.
And, you know, 2-3 years ago when they first started getting in the playoffs, they were the new blood.
Yep.
So let some new blood go in. And if it would be the Philadelphia Eagles, I mean, that'd be spectacular. But
I also
look around the league and there are other teams, other players that, like, deserve their chance, too.
Right. I agree with you on that notion. And I think in NFC, I think that the next teams up to actually make that Super Bowl leap, and it might be crazy to say this, I actually do think it is the Green Bay Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles. Not trying to sound like a homer, but I definitely think those are the two teams right now when I look at the landscape of the NFC. those are the two teams right now that I feel like that can make that jump to the Super Bowl. I mean, New Orleans.
Yeah, see, I
don't know.
I agree with you, but I don't know. I think that it might be Atlanta's turn to make a serious run at it. They have a good quarterback. They have a good defense. I mean, there's just like one missing piece of the puzzle. And I'm not like an Atlanta fan. I have nothing to do with that. But I think maybe, you know, maybe it's their turn at some point soon. And it's going to happen. It's going to sneak up on all of us because they've been so historically bad in the playoffs that no one ever really thinks about them.
Right. And especially now since they have a defensive-minded head coach now, their offense is already set. They just upgrade that defense. They add a couple of pieces here and there. Like you said, they're missing like a piece or two. They can be in that contention because the NFC South is not really daunting, to say the least. Not really scary. So I think Right. I think Atlanta could be in that position. Green Bay, the Eagles, I think there possibly will be new blood representing the NFC in the Super Bowl next year, which is fine with me. I mean, I'm all for, you know, new blood showing up, you know, making the game all fun, giving new teams that experience. But folks, if the Eagles do make it to the Super Bowl, remember this podcast, February the 2nd, 2015. We said it here first, just saying. If it happens, just remember that.
Just in case all our dreams come true.
Right. We can point back to this moment and said on February 2nd, 2015, we said the Eagles were going to the Super Bowl. We said it here first.
Yeah, so I should cue like the soundtrack from Cinderella, like a dream is a wish your heart makes.
Right. We're going to Disney World.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that was the thing too. When I was watching like a sports night with my dad today. I was like, I draw the line at the victory formation. I just walked out of the room. I was like, I have to have someone I can call right now.
Right.
I draw the line at this. Like, oh, we're going to Disney World. Like, you know what? I hope Disney World blows up while you're there, you jerks. Sorry. All these flavors and I choose to be salty. I am still very, very salty about it. Like,
oh, man, we have about 7 minutes left on the podcast. And before we end off, let's talk about Brady and Belichick. Are they the best? We don't have to, but we can talk about it for like a quick minute.
Much
his
Philadelphia fans hate them.
Yeah, they do. And I think a lot of NFL fans dislike them. And, you know, a lot of people are saying today that Brady's better than Montana. I'm going to stop them right there.
No way. I call blasphemy on that. No. No. Brady is not even better than Phillip Rivers in the grand scheme of quarterbacks. Sorry. Not sorry.
Hot take. Fearing hot take right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I know. Ouch. I went there.
And here was one that had like that almost made me spit out my like Kool-Aid last night while I was drinking Kool-Aid. Randy Moss on Fox Sports Live said yesterday that he believes that Bill Belichick, hold your seat for this one, is the greatest coach in NFL history, saying that he is better than Vince Lombardi.
Hilarious. I'm pretty sure Vince Lombardi never had to cheat to win his Super Bowls.
All right.
Yeah, Womp Womp City, and you're the mayor, Randy Moss.
Right. That's what I was saying. Like, okay, Randy, like, you're going too far with that notion. And I don't think that, you know, I don't think that Brady's better than Montana. And I don't think and I don't think Belichick's better than Lombardi. Let's just keep it real on that fact. Like, their career is going to have, if this Deflategate comes down like they were cheating, asterisk right there. Their names will go down in infamy as being cheaters, already as Spygate to Bill Belichick. But let's add the Deflategate to Tom Brady's illustrious, you know, golden boy career. We just put that right there, that little
smudge. And I'm pretty sure you rolled your eyes as you said illustrious.
I'm expanding my vocabulary here on the podcast.
No, don't worry. I rolled my eyes when you said it too. That's okay. I almost screened my eyes when you said it, actually.
We have about 5 minutes left on the podcast, and we're off of Brady and Belichick. Let's talk about something that's more interesting. And that's Philadelphia Eagles. We want to spend the last couple minutes talking about the offseason. It's a big offseason. Angela, I know we've been talking about it a lot, and I feel like we're going to be talking about it a lot this season. I mean, a lot this next few months. We're going to talk about the offseason a lot on this podcast. think about the moves you're going to make. The Eagles did sign a found a new GM dude, pretty much Ed Marowitz, 30-year-old guy from Alabama. Basically, was doing recruiting for Alabama. He's now working side by side with Chip. God, I hope to God that he knows what he's doing, or we're going to be stuck in his future. But there was a couple players in last night's game that really intrigued me as a possible Eagles. Byron Maxwell, Devin McCourty are the two that really stood out to me. And I feel like if they can get one of those two guys, then the secondary will be okay.
Oh, yeah, they definitely need to improve the secondary. I mean, in a free agency, pick up a corner or a safety, preferably one they can catch an interception. And then use all the other hole in the draft. I mean, you look at your pieces that you already have. You have a, like, upper echelon running back. You have a really top-tier sub-wide receiver. I mean, you don't really know what your quarterback is, but he's at least a decent quarterback that will get the job done.
Right.
It's not like they're a lost cause. And that's why I understand, like, with the Vegas odds saying that they could very well make it and win the Super Bowl, even though, as a Philadelphia fan, I'm kind of tired of hearing that because I feel like I've been fed that line my entire life at the beginning of the season, like, do you ever win the Super Bowl? And I just never knew.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, I don't think they're completely hopeless. I just think that they're missing, like, one or two pieces, and then they can do it. So go get your corner, go get your safety in free agency, and then the piece that you don't pick up in free agency, you address that in the draft.
Right.
You don't need a wide receiver. You don't need a running back. You don't necessarily need a quarterback.
No.
You know, you need another cornerback, and you need another safety, and then you need some help on the D-line because you don't know if D'Amico Ryan's coming back because he probably won't with that injury given his age.
Yep, and I totally agree with you on that. You got to make defense a priority. You got to, as we saw in this game, even though the Patriots didn't have the big-name stars on their defense, well, they kind of do it, McCourty and Revis and Browner. When you have depth and you have players that can play and that can know their roles and step up, even with Seattle, we saw this season, players that had to step up and play their role and know their role, but even though they were like the third or fourth guy down, they were still good and solid playing. If you have that on this team, then this team can do great things. I think that was the big thing for the Eagles. The depth, when they got down, as you said, when D'Amico Ryans went down, you're left with Emmanuel Acho, and you're left with Casey Matthews.
Yeah.
And then when the secondary...
Not much.
Exactly. Secondary, there's not much, you know, behind Williams and Fletcher. And then the safety, there's nothing really there either. So, you know, you're really pulling strings to get starters' snaps out of backup players. You're really trying to really...
What?
What did you about to say?
No, I guess all we can do is just, like, hang back and hope for a better season.
Yeah. I think that's the best thing that we can do. We hope that Chip and company can put the right pieces together going forward and, you know, put this franchise back on the map, because if he does not have a good draft, that could set the team back a few years. That doesn't need to go back a few years.
I think he's got 2 years. I think he's got 2 years. And if he doesn't do anything in 2 years, he'd look for another head coach.
Yep. No, I agree with
and
you.
I don't think Mario is the answer. I think that Angelo Cataldi was a huge jackass. Like, show up the wing bowl with the Mario jersey, like, doesn't help. Don't rile your followers up to boo anyone else who is not Mario at the draft. Like, come on, man.
That's where I worry.
I really think that Chip Kelly is going to, like, do everything he can to get Mariota, which means, like, really poor, long-term decisions, as we've seen with Washington. That's only where I worry. Don't make poor, long-term decisions to benefit the short-term.
Yep. No, I totally agree with you on that. And that's going to end off our last point here on the Total Sports Live podcast. I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in again on another great show. We had fun times. Thank Kurt for coming on and calling in. We had a good time talking about the Super Bowl and talking about the Eagles. And, you know, as we continue to go on, we'll have a lot of things planned for the podcast. We're going to be talking about the Sixers and their season is still going on. We're going to have some NFL draft prospects coming on the podcast, too, so stay tuned for that. We're going to have a couple of them coming on, especially on Sunday. We have one coming up on Sunday, so be in tune for that. But everybody have a good night, and we'll be back this week. So tune in. Good night.
Bye, everyone.